Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Al?
Nothing much. We are live and direct on Blog Talk Radio, and we are the Middlemen. I am your host, Alan Harrison.
And I'm your host, Kevin Gordon.
We have some great topic we're going to touch on today or whatever. But, you know, first we want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to this 6'8 high school girl, who plays basketball up in Tennessee, and she is a beast. And I think I'm pretty sure when she actually comes out of high school, she is going to be very great. So I want to give a shout out to Brittany Granier out there. If anybody know her, tell her Alan for the Middlemen gives her a shout out. Continue.
Did you say 6'8"?
6'8".
Man, that's pretty tall.
Six,
I would love to have that height myself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, man, just be able to come through the lane and smack everything. You know, true Celtic fans know what it is to win. So all you Laker fans out there that are listening right now, I know we lost today, but, hey, man, we still going to get that championship, man. Yeah.
But on about today's topic, today we're going to be talking about, it's a very touchy subject, and we're going to be talking about whether or not a child will be better raised more effectively and successively in a traditional family setting versus a single parent home. And of course, traditional family setting means whether both mother and father are in the child's picture. Or it could also range from either being a child living with their grandparents, you know, or aunt and uncle, or living in a foster placement.
And don't forget, man, if you're on the line right now, you're listening, and you're hearing what we're talking about today as far as the subject. If you grew up in a household like this, you know what I'm saying, we would love for you to call in and express that. You know, man, I mean, if you really think about it, man, it affects a lot of us, especially in the African-American community, where we're raised by our grandparents, our uncles and cousins. So, you know, if you experience that yourself, you know, please call in. Let's talk about this because, you know, myself, you know, I was born, you know, in a dual family household as far as with my mother and my father. So, you know, I mean, I experienced both sides of that coin.
Right. Well, me, myself, you know, I was raised, you know, of course, I started off in a dual family household, whatever family structure, I mean. And then I also moved in with my grandmother at the age of 13. And ever since then, I've been living with her. But my mother was always there, you know, for me. And whenever I needed some, you know, she was always there. And, of course, I had the support of my aunts that stayed close by as well, too. You know, I was somewhat close to my father, you know, as well. But I will always tell people that I was raised by my grandmother and my mother and my aunt.
Right.
But,
you know, well, you know, also, man, you know what I'm saying, before we get too far into the first segment, man, you know what I'm saying, you know, I would like to give a shout out to my man, Big Chris Bale and Chucky Charles, you know, all my folks out there listening. Shouts out to our man, Doug G. Hey, be safe in that snow out there. I know you're swerving in them roads again. You know, I know it's kind of crazy out here. Hey, man, dude, I woke up this morning. I looked out the window.
Right.
I'm seeing snow covering my yard and my cars.
What in
the world is going on?
Right. And I just seen, when I woke up this morning, I saw the most snow ever I have ever seen in Mississippi. You know, even when we had snow in the past years of, in my childhood growing up, this was the most snow that I have ever seen. So,
and you know what, man? I mean, I think, what year was that? It was probably, wasn't it? That was in the early 90s, man. We had the snow like that once before. We played a little football and all that. But, I mean, if you're in another region of the country, you really don't understand how we freak out when it snows down here. Everything shuts down.
Right, exactly. School is out. Some businesses are closed down for the day. I mean, it's like a free day, a snow day.
Man.
For us. Or whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I even thought about getting some of that white fake snow and spraying every damn thing so I can get out of work. You know what I'm saying? If that works.
That works.
Hey,
man,
but you know how we do out here, man. You know how we do. We got one, what you call it, little ice trucks. You see them up north all the time. But we have one ice truck that rides around and drop a little salt out, you know. And, man, I seen three wrecks today. I'm talking about what? Nobody involved but three wrecks. I'm saying, man.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, the only thing you got to do is just drive as slow as you can, and you can make it to where you need to be.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, safety is always first, but, of course, you got people who are, you know, actually, you know, they're just trying to get to where they're trying to get, you know, and not looking at as if, you know, this could be it. You know, this could be something that actually could ruin me or injure myself permanently or whatever. But, I mean, hey.
Hey, man, if you're bad out of hell, just do what you got to do. Put some snow tires on that bad boy and hit a corner. You know what I'm saying?
Keep it moving.
But we're going to recap a little bit of last week also before we get into this little music segment. You know, last week we spoke upon Deal or No Deal. So if you was an independent artist, you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/The Middleman and click on Deal or No Deal. We had some good guests in. We had some good guests on. You know, we had we had our man Vic, the manager over at College Park Music. We had also another homeboy that was on Asylum, which is Homeboy, and we also had Spark Dog with Green City out there in Texas. What's going on, player? Hey, you didn't catch Spark last week, man. Spark said he chilling with not one, but two women.
Right.
Did you catch him?
It ain't sharing with nobody.
You see what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, if you was an aspiring artist and you want to get a little insight on what it is to have a deal or is it worth you pursuing that deal, go ahead and log back on to blogtalkradio.com/The Middleman and click on Deal or No Deal. What you got for him, Al?
Please listen to that, you know, and also forward that to any of your counterparts, you know what I'm saying? You can also share it. You know what I'm saying? Which way you can actually email it to anybody who you want to actually let them listen to the show as well, too. So, you know, feel free to send it out to anybody you want to. It is some valuable information on that last show. I learned a lot. I'm pretty sure G learned a little bit more. And I'm pretty sure some of the callers that called in last week learned a lot of information as well, too. Very educational. And that's what we are trying to do with this particular show is educate the public. We are the middlemen. So.
True that. Always in the middle of something.
That's right.
Hey, a friend of mine said, you know, he was like, why y'all call y'allself the middleman? Don't you know people try to cut out the middleman?
Right.
I'm like, dude, regardless of what you do in life, there's always going to be a middleman.
That's right.
You want to get to the man that's next to the man, then next to the goddamn man, guess what? You still got to go through a middleman.
That's right.
So if you want to get down and, you know what I'm saying, see the networking that we're going to be doing in the near future, please get with us. We are the middleman at gmail.com. We are the middleman at gmail.com. Email us. You know, let's make a social network here, people.
That's right. Well, if we can move into our first song, G, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I really like this song in particular. It's by a guy named Colin Monroe. And I don't know where he's from, whatever, but he sounds pretty good, and I hope y'all like it, and we're going to move into it right now.
Well, every day is like grade 9. Every day is like trying to throw a punch for the first time. A long line. And the cuts on your hair from reaching for the sky. One way. And learning to run all over. Every day is like New Year's Eve, my friend. With so much hype, so much race, a big smile. big face or a big smile, but she's underage. Now I don't know what tomorrow brings. It's all been done. I don't care what tomorrow brings. 'Cause me,
go through in life make you who you are. We all struggling people, it ain't about who you are. I keep my head high, my bills late, I'm still fly. Don't know if I'm gonna see tomorrow, but yes, I will try. Surviving like some passengers in the Hudson. I start my journey to the top with my alarm clock buzzing. That mean get up, get out and get something. You don't get up and get out, then you don't get nothing. Middle class, call it work for me, I call it hustling. Whatever it takes to keep that turkey in that oven. Heavy as this load is, I can still hold it. Play your position, you gotta know just what you roll in. Cameras up, slate thin, tape it's now rolling. My life is like a movie, the premiere is now showing. All my seeds growing, just keep going. Don't you worry if I'm on my grind, 'cause me,
I'm fine.
That was Colin Monroe, and guess what? That was featuring Nashville's finest, Young Buck. I didn't realize
hey,
that was him on there until I listened to the song again.
Young Buck, I'm serious. This dude has been snapping lately. If you checked out some of his mixtape stuff, man, on All Hip Hop, man, I mean, I get a little stuff here and there in my email from this guy, man. 50 is crazy if he let this dude just sit.
Exactly.
Or he's just a complete butthole.
Exactly.
But for those that are just tuning in, and I thank all the guys that are on the message board right now chopping it up with me, check this out. You know, what we're going to do a recap on, what we're talking about today. Alan, let them know what we're talking about today.
Well, today we're going to be talking about whether or not a child can grow up successfully and effectively in a traditional family home structure or a single-parent family home structure. So we're going to try to debate that. We're going to have people call in and give their opinionated observations about those particular subjects, and hopefully we can get some good discussion out of it. And I feel that, you know, it really is up to the parents. You know, a child is raised, you know, of course, you know, in a good, if a child is in a good situation, of course, I mean, hey, that will reflect on how the child will actually be raised and actually progress in life. So
if you were in that situation yourself, like if you know your grandmother raised you or your aunt raised you, your uncle raised you, you know, call in and let us know. Did that make you a better person? You know, or do you feel like, man, I should have been with my mom or my dad, or I should have been with both of them? You know, a lot of times, you know, we take those things for granted, but at the same time, our grandparents are the perfect people to raise us, and you have those that, you know, they may not be the perfect person to raise us.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I have a few statistics that in which I did some research on, and you know, these statistics are some good statistics. It's been taken by the Census Bureau of the United States, of course. And it states that there are currently 13 million plus single parents in the United States.
Really?
And Yes, and these are due to, you know, people not choosing to be single, but a lot of them are due to life circumstances such as divorce or separation, abandonment, you know what I'm saying, by a spouse, or death of a spouse. And then, of course, they find themselves raising their children alone. And, of course, as you would suspect, nearly 85% of these households, of course, are headed by a female. And the remainder 15% are headed by males.
Well, do you think that, you know, what do you think plays a big part in that? Because that is true. It seems like a lot of our households are held, you know, just held together by women. And like, you know, in our earlier shows when we alluded to in our Valentine's show, you know, the perception of men is just really jacked up. And
right.
It's like, here we go with the stats showing that, hey, we're not in the household. So what's the problem, man? What do you think the problem is?
Well, I think the problem is, I mean, of course, it has a lot to do with, how that particular person was raised previously himself, that particular parent. You know, it goes back to that as well, too. And then it goes back into actually the parent's beliefs in how a child should be raised or their beliefs in their particular relationship. I mean, I feel those are two of the key components right there. In my opinion.
Right.
And, I read a
study, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. I think some people are familiar with it. Remember the Willie Lynch papers, you know, how to make a slave and how to keep someone enslaved. I think that a lot of times, man, we really take for granted the love and appreciation that we do have for each other. But the way those papers are set up, we're just going to destroy each other, just dismiss each other, and the household will never be in order by those papers, how they have it laid out.
Right. Well, I'm going to go to the phone lines, and I'm going to ask this specific question. We're going to start off with, of course, the very general question of this particular show. Which particular family structure will be best successful in raising a child in? Either would it be traditional or single parent? And I'm going to go to the phone lines on that. Let's see, we have three callers. Caller 845-570-1408. Would you like to comment on that?
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you
doing? This is 70 Soul Child. I'm so glad I called the show.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
No problem. I didn't know y'all were African American and also from Mississippi. Hey.
Hey.
Okay.
All right. Where from in Mississippi are you from?
Well, I'm from New York, but my family is from Natchez.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Nas, C.A. Jones' dad is from down in Natchez.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. I might know them. Oh, yeah. I remember when his grandmother died, we were down there visiting at the time. But
yes.
I want to answer the question about the traditional or the, I guess they call non-traditional, family structure. I think, in my opinion, I would say, being an African American, I would say the African American traditional family structure is the best. And what I mean by that is the extended family structure.
Right. Okay.
I think
it
works for us. And I think even if you are a single parent like I am, it still works out. You know what I mean? I think just coming from our culture, I think that works best for us. I think it incorporates all family types and, you know, everyone has their part to play in the family. So I think extended family is the best family.
Well, what do you think about this new phenomenon as far as how our women are more independent and more independent in thought process? Do you think that affects, you know, the whole family structure and the unit as far as, you know, having the male in the house? Or do you think that would be a factor in that?
Good question.
No, because you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, even though sisters act, you know, independent, I'm sorry. They do want to be married. They want to have a husband, and they want to have a, even if they're not married to their children's father, they still want them to be responsible for raising that child. So,
yes,
you have to look at it like that. And like I said, you know, everyone has their part to play. And maybe I'm a little bit older. I'm in my mid-30s. And the way I was raised, my grandmother had a very influential hand. Even though I grew up in a two-parent household, I had aunts and uncles. So all, like I said, all that influences the total family structure.
Right.
Do you think that I want to ask you some, hold up, I want to ask you this question because you just made a point that I was making earlier as far as with grandparents. Do you think, with you being around your grandmother, and was it your grandfather, was your grandfather in the house also?
No, my grandfather, they separated. She
lived
in New York and he stayed in Alabama.
Did your grandmother give you good advice about how to, keep that family together, even though it may not have worked out for her? But, with your mother and father, something had to click with those two. And do you think she gave you enough good advice, to hold a family together?
Absolutely. My grandmother was the rock of my family, so both of my grandmothers. So
okay.
I come from a very strong background where they did what they had to do to maintain their family, regardless of what the situation may turn out to be. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a hard question for me, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I just come from that family background like that, where the women are, we do what we got to do to get where we need to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, we thank you for calling in, and, we'd love to hear from you again.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'll advertise your show. Now
thank you.
Folks on Blog Talk know that you guys are here. Thanks so much.
All right. Appreciate it.
Greatly appreciate you. Greatly appreciate you. Great caller.
Thanks.
Al, I mean, when you think about it, Al, man, with the grandparents, I had a grandfather. My grandmother died before I was born. And my grandfather, man, he laid some game on me. I'm going to be real with you. But it wasn't a game that was destructive. It was more so how to get out here and grind, hustle, and take care of everything I need to take care of. But, as we was alluding to earlier, with me growing up in the type household, my mom and dad got a divorce when I was 5. And later on in life, my dad came back into my life when I was maybe 13 or 14. But in that time frame, I had so many people that was in my extended families, like my uncles, man. They played a very good part in helping me become who I am. So I feel like, just like with the last caller, man, that extended family was the part and the catalyst that made me the man who I am today. And also friends of the family. We had a couple of reverends and preachers and people that made me good. So,
Okay, well, let's take another call right quick. Caller 601-850-6208.
Yes,
hello?
That's me.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, what's going on, KG? What's going on?
All right. We're good, man. We're blessed. We appreciate you calling in, my brother.
Oh, man, I couldn't miss this one, brother. I missed the last show, but I definitely wasn't going to miss this one, brother.
Okay. Well, would you like to make a comment on the particular, topic of the day? I mean, of course,
you all were talking about grandparents and family structure and things of that nature. I think that it's very important that we have to understand that as black people, we have what is called an extended family. I'm a writer. I'm 47. I'm telling my age, but that's the truth. So. But my grandmother, who really wasn't my grandmother, she was actually my great aunt.
Yeah.
Her name was Bonnie Bell Christopher. She was born in 1880. Meant that she was a little girl when slavery ended. Okay, so there's a lot of things that she taught me in terms of being a man, being a human being, being an African American male, never forget where you came from, always making sure that you hold your family together, always recognize, your responsibility as a man.
Right.
So I do think that it's key that we need to understand that the black family unit has been under an assault ever since we arrived on the shore. the whole issue of slavery. Black families did survive during the slave trade. That if you read Blessing Gaines' book, The Slave Community, you will find that out. But you will also find out that there was a conscious effort to destroy that family. So the family structure, as writer Haki Armadabudi once put it, the single most holy unit of a nation is family. You know, so as long as you got a good, strong family structure, you have a strong community.
Right.
What's happening in our community, what we see with the violence, with the kids disrespecting the elders, is a sign of the times of a family breakdown. We're going to have to get back to that whole extended.
Hello, I think we lost him.
Did we just, Charlie, if you're still on the line, please call back in, please.
I think we lost his car.
Man, he was there dropping some jewels there.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
He was dropping some jewels.
Yes, he was. Dub, are you there? Dub Jizzle.
Is he swerving still in traffic out there, man? I know it's snow on the ground. He might be scared to put his mouth up to the phone right now.
I think so, man. I think so. Let's go to another caller on that.
Okay.
Hey, lady, how you doing? Hello? Caller, are you there? Hey. Hello? If I guess to say anything, well, he was making a lot of sense. I mean, of course, you know, it really has a lot to do with how you are raised. I mean, it plays back. Big deal with actually having that particular support, like your parents having more support as well too. You know?
Yeah, because I think, as he said, also as far as with the family structure and you know, village, it's almost a village mentality of, you know, if my aunt's down the street and you know my mom is not able to watch me, that's who watched me. You know, if my aunt couldn't watch me, my uncle is like around the corner, down the block, he could watch me. But that helped me became, you know, more comfortable with my environment because, you know, I didn't have to, you know, be in the house. Like, you look at the kids nowadays. They're at home by themselves. Both parents are out working. So that goes back to the question that you alluded to earlier as far as which one is better. Now you have both parents in the house. You know what I'm saying? And no one's at home to watch their child. No one's at home to, you know, teach them what they need to know and be more responsible. Now we got TV raising the kids. So that can be a problem. But with the extended family, you know, hey, man, you got all this help. And you know, I miss the fact that, you know, those that don't know, I'm out here in, you know, I'm out here in Georgia. I really do miss Mississippi because I do have a lot of family. I have family out here. I have family in Gainesville and also family in Columbus, Georgia. But, man, I miss having those people that I can just, hey, I'm going to get on my bike and I'm going over here to Uncle such and such house or go over to aunt, you know, my aunt's house. I miss that, man.
That's right. I think we got another call on the line. Caller.
Yes, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey. That's a welcome voice right there. Welcome back.
Yay, thank you. I just wanted to say a comment about what everybody was saying.
Yes.
I definitely agree that, you know, the extended family needs to make a reoccurrence more in our Black community. But I also think that accountability needs to be, you know, we need to face accountability within our own homes, our own selves. Like, I have many cousins, many, you know, girlfriends that I know, they don't even seek child support from, like, baby daddy. And, you know, if we don't hold men accountable, if we don't hold our people accountable, then we're not going to have good families and good homes. I don't think that you know, the best home is a, you know, how you know, it was intended to be with a mother and a father and a grandmother and grandfather. But I still think that you can have a good home, you know, if you're a single parent, but just have to have good people in your circle of friends and family and people that are accountable for that child's bringing up and take responsibility. And that's vacant with a lot of women I see these days. And, you know, it just blows me away that some women, they won't seek child support. You know, they say, you know, they don't want to mess their baby daddy up or you know, they don't want the their baby daddy to go to jail. But my thing is, you know, if you're a good man, you wouldn't, you know, nobody has to beg you to pay child support, or nobody has to beg you to spend time with your child. And things like that, you know, we're going to have to start holding our men and women, you know, accountable for their actions. Or it doesn't matter how many people are in the child's life.
Well, I mean, even with the situation and how you feel about males and, you know, the men and the women that's not responsible, but if we go back to the family structure, you know, if a young male, he never sees a male in the house, he never has that male, you know, that learning process of being a man from a man, you know what I mean? How can he grow up and be a man? Therefore, that leads to that man in that situation where you're talking about as far as not paying child support, not doing the things he should be doing as a man. So as far as it goes back to our structure in the family, we do need those individuals as far as the uncles. Man, my uncles are a very important part of my life. But if we don't have that structure together at the gate from the start,
right,
that can lead to the destruction later on.
Right, right. And that leads me to my next question that I really want to touch on as far as how kids are raised and whether or not that reflects their behavior, you know, far as them being in a traditional family setting or in a single-parent family setting. And I want us to touch on that on in the next segment. And we're going to go to another song right quick. And this is we're going to go to another song. This is Rock City featuring Q Parker, Crazy.
Responsible, I wanna see. Hey. The first face I wanna see. Looking right back at me.
right, and we're back on. That was Rock Sitting in Q. Crazy, crazy.
And you're listening to Blog Talk Radio / The Middleman, and we are The Middleman. I'm Kevin Gordon.
And I'm Alan Harrison.
And for those just tuning in, go ahead and let them know what we're talking about, Al.
Well, today, you know, we're talking about whether or not a child can be raised successfully and effectively in a traditional family setting, which is consists of a mother and a father, or a grandparent and grandmother or grandfather, whatever. But and also in a single parent structure, we're basically trying to debate which one is more effective than the other. And we have some great comments, you know, early in the show, and hopefully we can get into the second part with better comments. On
right.
In which I want to touch on as far as a child being raised in a traditional family setting or a single parent family setting, whether or not that affects that child's behavior. And, you know, of course, I deal with a lot of kids as far as, you know, on my job every day that, you know, I see kids with behavioral issues, you know, from suicidal, you know, all the way down to extreme physical and verbal aggression. I mean, these are behaviors that affect our kids daily.
Yes.
And a lot of the behaviors in which our kids actually present, they are actually modeling these behaviors from their parents.
Yes.
And a lot of parents don't see that.
Do you think the parents are invoking those destructive behaviors?
Well, if a child sees something for too long and actually seeing that, you know, okay, if Johnny and Sue doesn't get in trouble for this particular behavior with their parents, or if their parents are actually arguing with each other in the home and they see that on a daily basis, they're going to become to model that behavior, and they're going to become to start to present that behavior as well. You know, they're going to start off small,
right,
and next thing you know, it's going to escalate into something bigger. And
okay,
I want to try to touch on that with some of the callers out there.
Press 1 now. All those that are listening in right now, if you're on your cell phone, I know a lot of you guys are like, how can I get in this conversation? What can I do to get into this conversation?
Right.
When you dial 718-508-9972, you can listen to the whole show. Or if you want to go ahead and comment, because I know a lot of this, this subject right here is very touching to a lot of us. We've lived it.
Right.
You know, some of you guys probably raised by your grandparents, or you was raised in that single home, or that home that had both your parents and everything wasn't right. So please go ahead and press 1. We would love to hear from you guys. I mean, you know, don't sit on the sideline. Let us know, because, hey, we don't know everything. We're trying to learn here also.
Right. Let's see. Caller 678-410. Are you on? Hello? 678-410? I guess
okay, we having are we having problems with this board today, I see.
Okay.
If you could, caller, go ahead and please call back. Make sure you're pressing the number 1. Press the number 1, and we'll see that you're trying to call in so we can get your comment. We would love to hear from you.
Okay, let's try another caller. Caller 662-549. Would you like to comment? Hello? Okay, well.
All right. Just please call us back. But as far as with a single home, Al, I mean, you see that is like our earlier caller. Our caller that called in earlier, you know, she basically said that she was from a dual home and she had the grandparents and all that. But, you know, those that don't have the grandparents, they end up by themselves. They're in the trenches going to work. Probably hoping that their child can watch after themselves and not be destructive. Do you think that's – I mean, how hard is that? Because me personally, I have two myself, and I have my wife, but we know we have to manage that schedule and make sure everything works out for my kids and make sure we can manage work, home, and family time all together. Man, how hard is it when you're by yourself?
I mean, that is basically – I mean – you have support. You have somebody that lives with you that can support you. When you get tired, that's their job to come in and take over. But with a particular single-parent structure, that's quadruple that. You know,
right.
Of course, they got the kids' homework to make sure they're doing. They got to feed them. They got to bathe them. They got to put them to bed. And then they got to deal with them fighting and arguing over toys or not wanting to do their chores. I mean, that is
right.
Like so much on one particular person. Plus – their own life. You know, of course, parents, you know, they work. Of course, they got to deal with the stressful work. Then if they have to bring their work home, they got to deal with the stress of actually working off of the clock for their particular job as well, too, to continue actually raising these kids and providing for them. And that's a big stress, a big stress issue for a lot of our single parents out there, you know, and a lot of them do struggle with that because it is a task. It is a full-time job, you know, raising a child or more than one child. I mean, it is a full-time job doing that, you know, for, you know, as a single parent. I mean, because
I was going to ask from your observation as far as, like, you know, I mean, I know you really can't say where you work at, but you can tell the people what you exactly do when you're in and out of homes. But when you see that single parent that's that stressed out, do you think that, you know, do you think that would work out better if you'd be like, hey, you might want to bring your mom in? Or what if they're having a bad relationship with their mom or their dad and they can't get that extended help? You know what I'm saying? How can they go about getting help to, you know what I'm saying, to help that structure out, to show their kids a positive, you know, a positive forward progress? How do you think that can help? You know, how can they get that help?
Well, for one, I mean, for what I do is I ask them very specific questions about who is the person in which you would normally call on a day-to-day basis that you know that will be there for you or who will be willing to come to your rescue when you need them. And, of course, you know, I will have them make a list. And then from that list, I will ask them, well, who would you prefer to actually be willing to, like, if you were to leave your child alone with them, which one of these people would you be comfortable with leaving your child home and who will also still go by the same rules and guidelines as you believe as far as raising your kids in that particular home, as far as following the rules in which you have set in your home? And then from there, you know, of course, we'll try to incorporate that person, let them know, you know, how they will benefit from it, what their part is in this particular situation with actually helping out the mother. And also let them know how the mother could also give them support back when they need it.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing I want to ask you about also, let's get, you know, this is still on the subject, but let's get to the welfare issue. You know, is that disruptive to our family structure also? Because you think about it, man, you know, I remember hearing a lot of speeches, our brothers back in the 70s thought that, you know, this is disruptive to us, you know, as far as certain individuals believe that if we always got our hand out, how can we get our own self off of that situation that we're in? You know, I mean, now you still have people that are generation welfare, people where they're living in that same house, they're living in that same environment all the time. You know, I mean, do you think that we can get out of that environment, man, and can you think we can repair that structure as far as that generational welfare situation?
I mean, I feel we can, you know. I mean, it really depends on the actual willpower of that particular, you know, parent. Of course, you know, it depends on the area in which you stay in a lot. I mean, if your area don't have as many opportunities and you don't have transportation to get to those opportunities, I mean, that's going to be a task. That's going to be tough.
Okay.
But
we got a caller that want to make a comment on that, my brother. Go ahead and take that caller.
All right, caller 770-896, want to comment on that?
Yes, me again. And I definitely think that we should end welfare. Not end it, because I think some people actually do need welfare, but I think that, you know, they should make a law where you shouldn't be able to stay on welfare forever, because it is destructive to our communities. And I'm sorry to say, my people, they're not going to have the willpower, not a lot of them, because they're too comfortable. They're too comfortable with, you know, not paying any rent or getting a utilities check. That's how it works in Georgia, where you get a utility check if you don't have a job, and you can use that. It's like $160 a month. And you know, it breeds this bad environment. And until we can become stronger, we're going to have to start having a little push. So I think it's a good idea for us to destroy welfare.
Okay.
Do you think, as far as even with that being said, you said that it's destructive and we're too comfortable, we may not get off of it. Do you think the success stories that have gotten off welfare outweigh the ones that like to stay on it, because you do hear stories of people that became successful, like that mom that wrote the books for Harry Potter. You hear about Whoopi Goldberg. You hear about individuals that, not just in the limelight, but you have those that are not famous that made it out, and they became successful, productive people. Do you think we need to get rid of it, like, in that manner? And you know?
No, I just don't think that you should be allowed. Like, those people did it on their own. Maybe they didn't stay on for, you know, 10 years. I know people that have been on welfare, you know, all their lives. As children, their parents were on welfare, and they grew up to be on welfare and continue to be on it for years. And maybe if we could structure a system where, you know, it had a limit, a time limit on it, then maybe, you know, those people that need a little push, they'll feel, you know, more apt to, you know, go out there and look for a job and go out there and try to have a, you know, provide a better structured life for their children and their community. And we as a community need to say no more, no more. Like, people that, you know, how is it justified, you know, for us to continue to pay for people that, you know, stay on welfare for more than 5 years? How is that justified? How is that helping us in the society?
Okay. All right, we appreciate it. We got another caller coming in. Go ahead and take the other call.
Okay, caller 601-850, you want to comment on that? Got a minute?
Yes, it's me. It's me again. I think it's very important. I think what the sister said about the whole welfare system, the way it's structured, I think that's a good idea, that what she's bringing up, because if you understand the way it was structured, if you go back and read the Monahan report, if you go back and read the book by Sam Yet, The Choice, which was a book about genocide in the black community, the welfare system was one of the things that they did use to design to destroy the black family. Welfare was used to really sort of encourage black men to leave their families because the way it was structured.
You had to be a single mother.
At one point when they first started, you couldn't even have a telephone.
Right. It's
structured so you can never, ever get out.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely agree with that, Charlie. With that particular argument, my line of work, I see that every day. You know, I could definitely agree with that. Caller 678-410, you want to comment as well on that?
Okay, I work with low-income people every day on a day-to-day basis, and I see, like, in Georgia, it's not mainly the blacks that are getting welfare, but it's more illegal Mexicans that are getting it. And it's like our government system here is making it so much easier for them to get it and a little bit harder for the citizens to get it. Now, I think it is designed, and it is like a cushion for some people that really don't want to make it. And then I feel it's okay for some that, like, teenagers and whatnot, you know, that have these kids and that are needing that help, but also using it as a way to learn from their mistake and are able to get off of it.
Good comment. Let's take another caller right quick as well, too. Caller 662-251, you want to comment as well?
Yes, I do. I do agree with the other callers. I do feel that it's the government's fault, and there should be a limit. I mean, you have people out there that are actually working and trying to do for themselves and provide for their family, but yet the government won't give them a break or won't even give them a slight of chance that they're giving the people that's sitting at home watching TV, and they're just, you know, giving them all the, you know, the stamps and everything, the free utilities that they need. And, that, you know, it's like it's a slap in the face. Here it is. I'm out here trying to work, or, you know, the next person is trying to do this and do that, and you won't even help them, but they're sitting on their butts and you're giving them everything.
Right.
That's true. So, I mean, do you think that, you know, do you think just because they are illegal, do you think that they shouldn't receive any help? I mean, they still contribute to our society.
No, I'm not saying Hispanics. I'm just saying our people. They do get the help, too, and I understand that, you know, you're helping illegal immigrants, but sometimes too much, you know, it can be too much for them.
Right.
And I think as the caller,
you know, I never get a limit.
I think as the caller, you know, alluded to earlier, you know, we have to want to do it ourselves. And if we don't, we'll be stuck. It'll be a generational thing continuing on and on and on. We thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Hope you tune in next week. Please tune in next week. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next segment. Is that guy, is he out of traffic yet? Because, I mean, man, I think he done did a 360 over there on 285 Spaghetti Junction.
Hey, man, y'all ready? Know what it is, man. The live wire is in the tie.
There
you know
go.
What I'm saying, me?
Yeah.
Hey, man,
what it looking like out there, baby?
Hey, man, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and it's show lane. You know what I'm talking about? But, hey, man, to everybody out there in that snowman, y'all drive safe. Y'all be cool. You know what I'm saying? It is a funky thing outside. But we gonna tone it down this week because y'all know we usually be unadulterated and unfiltered doing the church segment. But we finna get into it real, real good. You feel me? Now, I'm finna talk from a standpoint because, you know, I was raised by my grandmother. You understand me?
Okay.
It's you funky daddies out here. I'm going to get on y'all first. Y'all funky daddies out here who want to go out here and be the big player, go ahead and make all these babies, you know what I'm talking about, and want to keep on making babies, but don't want to take care of none of them. Then, when they throw that child support into it, oh, you want to get fun. Oh, why she going to do it like, she know I ain't doing it. She know I ain't doing that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, check this out. In the first place, if you wouldn't be swinging your wind in every which way, you know what I'm talking about, and keeping it in your pants and trying to do that grown man dance, you wouldn't have them kids to take up your change. You know what I'm talking about? So look here. That's one thing. Now, two, on the flip side, now we got to go because the dude's raggedy. You're going to the raggedy females at the same time who out here playing the same game that the same dudes are playing. They out here eyeballing the dudes soon as they walk in the club. They got the cool fit on. They riding big on in the Lexus or something, a big old truck. You understand me? So, and then you go home and let him do you wrong. You know what I'm saying? And y'all don't use protection. And guess what? 9 months later, you can't stand the boy. He don't want to take care of the kid. You mad because you can't chill out with your homegirl. Now your whole life you got thrown off. So guess what? It's on both of y'all. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So at the end of the day, man, you know what I'm talking about? Our society has embraced it to a certain degree. You know what I'm talking about? The media it makes shows about it by single this, single that, single that. Okay, man, what happened to the family? You know what I'm saying? Like I've been with my grandmother. My mother happened to pass right when I was born. You know what I'm talking about? God rest her soul. And I was raised by my grandmother. My father was just out doing whatever he felt like, and he felt like he couldn't raise me. I got homeboys right now. The mama didn't even want the child, and then after she had the child, she gave the child to the man because she didn't want it, but she kept her little girl, but she gave the boy away. So you got all kind of little scenarios. So they got some good men who out here holding it down for their kids, man. I'm just saying like this. Whatever your situation is, man, make the best possible situation for your kid. If make sure you make that child with the person that you can see yourself going a long way with. Even if you don't make that long haul with that person, at least some good timing into it. You know what I'm saying? And just on some real talk, man, all you men out there, man, who out there in the club trying to slang your wind and trying to get some brownie points, man, cut it out, man. It's a whole new year, a whole new time, man. We need to get some things going, man. And this your boy, Dub G, and I'm out this thing. Church.
Man.
That's my guy. That is my guy.
I feel preach tabernacles. Church. Man, I feel sanctified. Yes, boy. Hey, W, if you're still listening, please don't crash into them trees. Don't
that's
swerve,
right.
baby. Man, that's
right.
Our man, Dub G, right there, co-host extraordinaire.
Right.
Coming straight from the church. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to ride out with a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to speak to y'all again and let y'all know what's going on. So, Al, go ahead and hit them with this last track of the day, and we're going to go ahead and take them on home.
All right, this is the last track of the hour. This is City of God. Check this out, y'all.
I seen a pretty girl smiling out to dance with me. Never holla at these girls that came naturally. In a boogie wonderland on the natural high. Said she felt something on a special vibe. I felt something to her when I looked in the rock. Walking on the moonlight under a
clear night sky. I thought she was perfect, I thought she was bright. Maybe I was in love, but I don't know what that feels like. Thought she was the one as far as my eyes could see. But I don't know if that's the one God had for me. And I had so much strife in my life. Only girl I could see that could be wiping my life. And I ain't trying to bluff, I ain't trying to lie. Only girl that made me quiet, only girl that made me shy. Other dudes hated cause she was real fly, but I felt real good cause she was on my own. Up in a crowd, I like taking girls out. Keep it looking good, take it out. Everyone's still surprised that your boy is showing out. I'm the one that supplies her with all her needs. And girl, I can't dance, you gon' have to leave. What I do, bitches, rock shows, rock crowds. Way past daydreaming, she had me up in the clouds. After I met her, never a night alone. Up all night at home, talking on the phone. And every time she had to talk, she had to watch her tone. It's close to the edge, man, my mind was blown. She wasn't a so-called average girl, but the type if I could, I would give her the world. Cause she gave me the eye and I think that she liked me. Type of girl I see in my life is wiping me.
Hey, man, you know, man, we definitely, you know, we're a well-rounded crew here, man. We listen to everything, right. Everything, and everything. Man, next week, we got an interesting show for you guys. And also for this show this week, please log on to blogtalkradio.com and leave your comment. We want to know what you guys think of us. You know, we're trying to put this together for you guys every Sunday and make sure we put together a hot show. And we appreciate everybody that called in today. Right. All the people on the message board, thank you for checking us out. And Bug Boy, number one fan, man, shouts out to you, baby.
yeah,
70s Soul Child, we appreciate you calling in. My sister appreciates you. Jennifer, thank you for calling in. Everybody that called in. Charlie, thank you. We got Dub on the line again. I think he what is he doing, man?
Hey, man, you know, I had to come back because you got to give him some more, man. You got to give him some more. Hey, check this out. Y'all need to go ahead and check the boys out at wearethemiddlemen.ning.com. You know what I'm talking about? Get your profile up there. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can listen to some more of the shows. You know what I'm saying? We give y'all some updates about what's coming on, who our guests going to be. You know what I'm talking about? wearethemiddlemen.ning.com. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. And all them boys out there, who tuned in that came off of that Twitter, you know what I'm talking about, all my Twit family, you know what I'm talking about, y'all can holler at me on Twitter, T-W-I-T-T-E-R, y'all know what it is, Dub Jizzle, D-U-B-G-I-Z-Z-L-E, you know what I'm talking about, and I can give you some info on the show and however, whatever it go, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my boo, too, you know who you are, appreciate you for calling in as well, too, great comment, and everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for even giving us an hour of your time on Sunday at 5 or 6 p.m., whatever time zone you in. You know, thanks for listening. We are.
And make sure you go to our website. Go to, you know, and leave the comments we want to hear. Make sure you tell your people, your friends, your extended family, 718-508-9972 every Sunday, baby. We are the middleman at gmail.com. Leave a comment. Go to our MySpace page. We do have a MySpace page. We need friends. Go ahead and add yourself on. What is it? MySpace.com / /the We Are the Middlemen.
Yeah, we are the middleman. You know, spelled correctly.
Yes.
We are the middleman. And also, like Dove said, please go to our Ning site, which is wearethemiddleman.ning.com. You know, like Dove said, you can go on there, create your little profile, select your friends, leave your comments, leave your blog post, download stuff, put pictures up, videos, whatever. You know, we got it on
there. Hey, man.
You wanna do.
Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Understand that.
Right.
Make sure y'all log in, man. Hopefully we'll have a great, great, great show for you guys next week. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about the I-isms. For
yes.
all that don't know what the I-ism is, tune in next week. Because this one right here is going to get a little, this gonna, as my man Doug didn't say, this is going to get a little funky. And some of y'all going
right.
to get a little funky.
And I'm going to call some people out. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm just letting y'all know right now, I'm calling you out. And I don't care who you are. I mean, I don't care if you're famous or not, but I'm calling you out. Peace.
We out.